Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program that I, Luke Cavalli, and Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli have been bringing to you since 2003. Go to WWCR.com, the Liberty Works Radio Network, that is LWRN.net, and KStarTalkRadio.com to see program schedules and times.
And we're also on Global Star. We have to get their information confirmed soon.
That's exactly right. And we had one listener contact us because he was trying to figure out how to send us an email. You can do it directly on our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Simply go to the, either depending upon whether you're using a smartphone or a laptop or other computer, on the smartphone, you'll see a little thing marked menu. Go down until you see Contact and click on that. And it will allow you to put in your email and your name and a brief message. And the same thing can be done on a computer. It may be arranged a little differently. Just look for the word contact, and you'll be able to do that. The name of our program tonight is 2021 Summer Death Shrieks. Here are a few headlines. First, these from a listener in Pennsylvania. Some of the latest scamdemic tidbits. Coronavirus. Sniffing police dogs in Massachusetts. A judge somewhere in America reduces sentences for inmates if they take the injections. Also, Elizabeth and I heard yesterday that the Department of Justice, DOJ, vaccine mandates for federal government workers are legal. Wow. And from the Gateway Pundit, we have this headline, Insanity. Almost a million people can't leave home in Sydney because a man in his 80s died from or with COVID. That was by Jim Hoft, July 23rd. And the subheadline says, almost a million people can't leave their homes because one man died in his 80s. This is insanity. This is Australia. The city of Sydney is locked down because one man died and 111 tested positive out of 80,000.
And Lou, here's another headline. Spike in coronavirus vaccine-related death reports caused by a, quote, mistake, claims CDC as they delete thousands from their database. This was at Natural News Friday, July 23rd, 2021. The CDC said VAERS, the passive reporting system that it runs together with the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, received 12,313 reports of vaccine-related deaths, a sharp increase from the previous number of 6,079. The new figure means CDC has now received more reports of deaths following COVID-19 vaccination than all other vaccines combined in the 30-year history of vaccines. Investigative journalist Alex Berenson, first to report the increased cases, said on Twitter, quote, we don't know at this point why the number of death reports in the system doubled in a week. Probably the answer is not a new surge in deaths, but older deaths being added to the system. But given VAERS's importance as a monitoring mechanism, CDC must explain quickly, he added. However, the numbers changed on July 21st, with the CDC website now only reporting that 6,207, and that's 0.0018%, of individuals who received the vaccine had died instead of 12,313. When asked, a CDC spokeswoman told the Epoch Times that the previous number displayed on its website was not accurate. Then we have the Gateway Pundit weighing in on July 24th. This was by Jim Hoft. The headline, Weird? After weeks of significant spikes in the thousands in vaccine deaths listed on CDC-linked VAERS website, the number jumps 265 this week, but still tragic. The VAERS website released its most recent weekly numbers on Saturday morning. There are now 11,405 reported deaths from the COVID vaccine in the United States, according to the latest numbers. This is up from 11,140 total vaccine deaths last week. And this was up from 9,125 reported deaths from the COVID-19 vaccinations total from the previous week. The number of deaths linked to the CDC-promoted vaccines this year has absolutely skyrocketed. according to the CDC's own data. The VAERS database contains information on unverified reports of adverse events, illnesses, health problems, and/or symptoms following immunization with U.S. licensed vaccines. The CDC government website links to VAERS platform. 3 weeks ago, VAERS reported 6,985 deaths due to the COVID vaccines. 2 weeks ago, 9,048. That number jumped to, and that's 2 weeks ago that happened. Then it jumped to 11,140. But this week, it only jumped a couple hundred. That's weird, huh? The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, database contains information on unverified reports of adverse events, and they go through that again, what we knew before. Reports are accepted from anyone and can be submitted electronically, and they give the website. There were over 400,000 adverse reactions reported to the COVID vaccine listed last week. This week, that number jumped by another 90,000 to 491,217 total events. It now appears the government may be fudging these numbers.
Yale doctor calls out the CDC for committing large-scale medical fraud and hiding COVID cases among the vaccinated. This is by Lance D. Johnson, Friday, July 23rd, Natural News. And the subheadline, Epidemiologist Exposes CDC's Testing and Vaccine Fraud. Here we have a quote. Some months ago, the CDC stopped counting breakthrough cases, the large number of cases in people who had been vaccinated, said Dr. Harvey Risch of the Yale School of Medicine. So, of course, these cases don't register for the CDC's counts. And so the great proportion of cases that they're claiming are in unvaccinated people, Risch said, and that fallacy is why the U.S. and the CDC's count is different than Israel or the U.K. It's a fallacy. In many cases, these COVID-19 tests are fraudulently calibrated at over 30 or 40 cycle thresholds to produce a false positive COVID-19 diagnosis. The tests do not decipher dead viral debris from infectious viral debris and can report a false positive reading even though someone has recovered from the infection and already has immunity. A more accurate diagnosis is produced using a PCR cycle threshold of 17, confirmed using symptom-specific criteria and also backed up by another test called Sanger sequencing. However, most states were not transparent with the number of cycle thresholds used to generate COVID-19 cases, and they did not use medical standards to properly diagnose the cause of medical emergencies. Instead of following scientific standards, labs and COVID-19 test companies took advantage of income streams and perpetrated fraud. Moreover, U.S. hospital systems were financially compensated for a positive COVID-19 test, coercing medical authorities to diagnose COVID-19 as the cause of death when it is merely, quote, suspected or cannot be ruled out, unquote. Relying on test fraud, the COVID-19 diagnosis fraudulently became the final determinant and leading cause of death for people who passed away from other causes, like medical error, heart attack, ventilator-associated pneumonia, influenza, prescription error, omission of treatment, stroke, or an assortment of hospital-acquired infections, etc. This COVID-19 diagnosis was also slapped on mildly ill or healthy individuals, subjecting them to fraudulent quarantine orders and contact tracing, which unlawfully detain people and deprive them of their liberty while shuttering entire workplaces and industries in the process. After lowering the cycle count for the vaccinated, case counts have predictably fallen, making the vaccine appear effective. To further make COVID-19 disappear in the vaccinated, the CDC stopped recording breakthrough cases in the spring of 2021. These are deliberate acts of deception. The CDC is using this medical fraud to claim that the unvaccinated are the cause of the ongoing pandemic, when in reality, the vaccinated are still getting sick, seeking hospitalization, and coming down with new health problems like heart inflammation, blood clots, and stroke.
And Lou, we have to interject here that we just heard a short clip at Brighteon.com from a Baltimore medical health worker. She was a nurse, a caseworker, I think, a case manager. That was her title. And she revealed that in her work milieu, many more people are coming in months later after they've had the vaccinations for COVID, and they are all having all kinds of symptoms, probably from rather minor to very major. And she said nobody knows how to treat them because nobody knows exactly what is wrong with them. So these concerns are very great. And we have to take some notice when there's someone as eminent as Yale's Dr. Harvey Risch, don't we, Lou?
Absolutely. That man would have the credentials to know what he's talking about.
So let's pick up his story.
Yes. He says, on the contrary, people who are properly treated will go on to gain immunity that is 40 times more durable for preventing hospitalization in the face of mutating strains.
And now we have the important July 22nd update from the Freedom First Network. And there was a very shocking article title, V-Safe has more vaccine adverse reaction data than VAERS, but CDC keeps it absolutely secret. Why? According to the Thomas Renz lawsuit that claims a cover-up of 45,000 hidden COVID vaccine deaths, there was another issue that needs, quote, as much attention, if not more, end of quote. Rucker states, according to the lawsuit, the V-Safe database has much more data about vaccine adverse reactions than VAERS. It's a mobile app that allows the tens of millions of vaxxed in America to easily report adverse reactions. As their website notes, quote, use your smartphone to tell CDC about any side effects after getting the COVID-19 vaccines. Rucker explains that VAERS requires finding the database and filling out a large questionnaire to be registered. Rucker, quote, this is one of the reasons experts estimate between 1 and 10% sampling. In other words, whatever the number of reactions are reported on VAERS should be multiplied by 10 to 100 in order to get a more accurate picture. Lou, isn't that strange that they're making it very hard for their victims to squawk out?
They don't want us to know.
No. So back to Rucker, V-Safe is the opposite of that. Instead of making it difficult to report, it makes it very easy. Instead of being challenging to find, doctors have been told not to refer their patients to VAERS if they have a reaction. It is proactive and actually sends push notifications to the vaccinated to inquire about their conditions. Now, isn't that something? I mean, there it looks like something is a tool that's actively interested in these poor, hapless creatures who have put the spike proteins into their system. They inquire how they're doing. That's so different from this other obstacle course that one has to do in order to get to VAERS. So the article says, Rucker states that this is a vast repository of data that is smartphone confirmed. Quote, the most accurate recording of information about the adverse effects of COVID-19 vaccines, and here's another quote, and it's locked away with cybersecurity protocols that would make the NSA sweat. Why?
An inconvenient truth. Experimental COVID injections are what's driving the spread of, quote, variants, unquote. This is by Ethan Huff, Thursday, July 22nd. At Natural News. Despite what the fake news media is telling you, most Americans have not gotten injected for the Wuhan coronavirus. And those who have, it appears, are the ones getting sick and driving the spread of the Delta variant. There is zero proof to suggest that non-injected people are the ones now functioning as, quote, viral factories, unquote, as the government claims. To the contrary, the injected have been marked with toxic chemicals that are mutating into new forms of illness that are sending people to the hospital with, quote-unquote, COVID. An article recently published in Quanta magazine warns that just like how taking antibiotics breeds antibiotic-resistant superbugs, taking these so-called vaccines contributes to the breeding of new variants that send some people to the hospital, or worse. The piece discusses the history of the anti-Marek's disease vaccine for chickens, which was first introduced back in 1970. It has had to be reinvented some three different times now because the virus continues to mutate to evade the vaccine. The reason for this, of course, is that vaccines produce fake immunity, at best. Fake meaning the type of immunity that wanes over time. Real immunity, which is produced by the immune system, lasts a lifetime.
And Lou, we have to interject again. We think it was the Cleveland Clinic that came out with the statement that people who had the real COVID-19 virus probably would keep immunity for 17 years. Isn't that impressive?
Very impressive. In fact, I think that was the minimum. They were being careful about that, and I think it very possibly could be a lot longer than that.
And before you get back to the rest of this important article, we thank a few listeners, especially a set of listeners in Wisconsin. We thank that person in Philadelphia. There are a few of you who are really stepping up to the plate to keep us on air, and we do need help because we've told you that since Lou's teaching job was cut, we have a very largely growing debts, and we do want to stay on air, and we're very pleased with the letters from you all that hearten us because we know that God doesn't want his little ones, and that's all of us, no matter what our age is, whether we're elderly, middle-aged, or children, he doesn't want his people destroyed for, as the Bible says, lack of knowledge. So if you would like to help us, even just a letter is wonderful to us. A few postage stamps, a little cash, or if you write a check, it does have to be made out either to Global Star Communications or to WWCR. We cannot take personal checks. You could also send a money order if you like, and you send it to Lou Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, and the zip code is 21609. Again, that's Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And you notice you don't have to put up with any commercials. You're getting a lot of information. And actually, Lou and I have been working quite hard on this program. We didn't used to work nearly so hard when we were on a network. We had a lot of other things taking up our time. And God has slowly but surely made us much more committed to this task because this is life and death. And it's not just life and death here on earth. It is also a spiritual war. So we do urge you to repent of any sins that you know you're committing or don't even realize, sins of omission, and turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you and to become your Savior. He is real. He's watching over us. Lou and I looked out the other night, and right near the end of the day, while there was still some sunlight, there were beautiful heavenly rays coming down in our backyard over a large storage shed garage that we have. And Lou says, look, and we had just been working extremely hard on some of these things that we're presenting to you now. And we knew God was there personally saying, keep it up. I know you're tired, but you're doing what I want you to do. So that's what we ask you to do. Pray every day to Jesus Christ and thank him that we still have a modicum of freedom. It's still the best country to be living in the whole world, in America, and pray that he will help us stand up and foil the evils, that people will become less cowardly in Congress and in other places, but especially that he will reawaken some of the pastors who have become those dumb, sleeping dogs. That's all that we can say, and that's biblical. Let's get right back to this article, Lou.
Yes. A 2015 study published in the journal PLOS Biology also looked at the anti-Marek's disease vaccine for chickens, revealing that unvaccinated chickens are the least likely to shed the strongest strains of the virus into the wild. Vaccinated chickens, on the other hand, are basically walking disease carriers. And this is a quote from that article in Quanta magazine. The findings suggest that the Merrick's vaccine encourages more dangerous viruses to proliferate. This increased virulence might then give the viruses the means to overcome birds' vaccine-primed immune responses and sicken vaccinated flocks. Vaccinated people are walking disease factories, in other words. Their damaged immune systems are now prone to spreading more illness, typically to other vaccinated people, whose disease defenses have also been degraded. Even partially vaccinated people, quote, might serve as sort of a breeding ground for the virus to acquire new mutations, warns Paul Bianis, a Howard Hughes investigator at the Rockefeller University. This, of course, runs contrary to media and government claims that unvaccinated people are somehow responsible for the vaccine-induced spread of new Wuhan flu variants. Richard Harris, NPR's science correspondent, warns of much the same. He says there is intense, what he calls, evolutionary pressure at play that renders vaccines unable to, quote, completely block infection. He went on to say, many vaccines, apparently, including the COVID vaccines, do not completely prevent a virus from multiplying inside someone, even though these vaccines do prevent serious illnesses, he alleges.
And we'd point out that that word, evolutionary, doesn't mean Darwinian. That just means the processes that would naturally happen because of the chemical effects of everything put into the body.
That's right. And just finishing up that last quote, he says that vaccines do prevent serious illness, he alleges, toting the government line about the jabs supposedly minimizing the risk of serious illness.
And, of course, we don't really think that's the case at all.
That's right.
Go ahead, Lou. Pick up the next part.
All right. And now we move to the theme of tonight's Divided Kingdom, July 29th program, 2021, Summer Death Shrieks. Elizabeth Cuppett Cavalli's opening monologue is so important, filled with such crucial info, that it is posted on our website. And we checked, and it's now up.
Yes. Remember, our website is DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com. And if you do notice sometimes some glitches in our program or some wrong programs played or some silences, a lot of that is due to technical things that probably no station could change all the time. And we love our relationship with WWCR, and we know that sometimes there is unexplained interference when people stutter and stammer and the digital thing doesn't lock in. We're not sure what causes that or who's back of that. But at any rate, we know that you're getting enough of the information to bring you to your knees in prayer. And I think that this remnant that's growing out there is very powerful. Do not underestimate your prayers to God, because he not only sees those leftist baby killers, he also looks at all of you who are praying fervently and remorsefully. So here is my newest essay, 2021 Summer Death Shrieks, July 25th, 2001. And I realized after I wrote it, I hadn't wanted to write anything all summer. It was so hot in Maryland, as always, and it was just sort of like I wasn't ready. And all of a sudden, Sunday morning, I was ready. And later, I realized that was my late mother's birthday. She would be over 100 years old, July 25th, 1911. She was born, and she watched during the Spanish flu. And remember our update on that, pretty controversial things, that there's some information that flu came out of a failed meningitis experiment at Fort Riley, Kansas. So a lot is not what it seems to be, but my mother stood there and watched as two beautiful white horses pulled a sled on the snow, and there were two coffins, the coffin of her neighbor, a seamstress who had sewed a lot of my mother's and my mother's family's clothes, and her newborn baby. So you see, We're living in a panorama of history. Your ancestors, my ancestors, and those to come. And someday, someone will look back upon this genocide. The whole truth will come out. 2021, Summer Death Shrieks. God and or weather modification mischief. Result: severe drought in the western United States. A new California earthquake. Catastrophic floods in Germany and dam-threatening waters in China. But more imminent threats are not outside your body. They are inside it. An evil doppelganger of children's Legos, toys, COVID mRNA vaccines are using spike proteins and nanoparticles to create new gothic horror constructions in your body. For many, resultant disability or death. This is a spreading catastrophe. A young man aspiring to go to medical school, struck down by myocarditis. Three formerly healthy young women now endlessly convulsing in whole-body fashion. Little African-American girl Maddie in a wheelchair and unable to feel her body from her waist down. Is there enough post-vaccine anguish for you yet? The sadness and uncertainty for those of our dearest friends and family who took the experimental COVID jabs, never approved by the FDA, oppresses us. Will they die sooner or a little later on from a stroke or heart attack, from blood clots caused by the spike proteins? A lawsuit to be filed in Alabama by Thomas Renz is founded on the information of a VAERS whistleblower who suggests that in one line out of 10 or 11 total lines of information, 45,000 is the true number of COVID vaccine deaths, a figure that has been covered up. If this is accurate, the total, quote, hidden deaths, counting the other lines, could be as many as 450,000. Almost 500,000. What Dr. Lee Merritt called the elephant in the room no one wants to talk about now, a population killing plan. It is rampaging like the French Revolution. Dr. Judy Bykovits, longtime insider, researcher, and co-author of the August release book, Ending Plague, and Lou and I'm going to interject, have ordered that book from Barnes & Noble, and we're looking forward to seeing this book very much. Dr. Judy said in a recent interview with Stu Peters that components put into some COVID vaccines included the spike protein HIV virus envelope, the XMRV mouse virus, isolated from people with Guillain-Barré syndrome, multiple sclerosis, and myalgic encephalomyelitis. It's the same XMRV, and remember that was a mouse retrovirus. It's the same XMRV as in the 2006 blood supply contamination, the same factor responsible for the cytokine storms caused by the mRNA COVID vaccines. Nero fiddled as Rome burned. Ex-President Trump and squawking deep state parrot Sean Hannity are still, quote, talking vaccines, even as rumors abound that Fox received a huge pharmaceutical endowment. None in Congress is brave enough to do more than token attempts to expose the whole Fauci, Ralph Barrett, gain-of-function, North Carolina, NIH, NIAID criminal complex. But compared to 6 or 7 months ago, more masses of people in America have really awakened. Many think it is odd, for example, that in Maryland, vaccine hesitancy has been met with a rollout of FEMA mobile vax vans, inducements of pizzas, free pizzas, and voila, two vaccine lotteries, the last one enticing youth to win big money for college. Of course, if the student winner happens to get the serious heart inflammation, myocarditis, he or she will perhaps have to rest 2 or 3 years, if still alive, before enrolling. Oh, well, throw the dog a bone. Maybe a few online courses to placate the bedfast population reduction victim on bed rest. Yes, the summer death shrieks are growing louder, more insistent for people to notice. Early on, only a few alert thinking persons noticed the strange tyranny against doctors who were advocating hydroxychloroquine and the ominous sudden destruction of a key production plant. Only a minority winced as President Donald Trump exulted, "The vaccines are coming! The vaccines are coming!" That echo of Paul Revere's warning, "The British are coming," has an escalating urgency as, quote, "the hidden elephant in the room stomps toward you with perhaps part two, a new variation, and mad cow innovation." In a July 24th interview on the Stu Peters Show, Dr. Jane Ruby explained plans for a new, supposedly safer vaccine called Novavax. This continuation of death is cleverly made by using a virus that spiders, not humans, get. Scientists then put it into moths. Next, spike proteins are extracted, and each is studded into a lipid nanoparticle. More spike proteins? If that fact alone nonplusses you, try this. Nanovax will also include a prion or prion HIV glycoprotein 120. Yes, prions are those things connected with Jakob Creutzfeldt mad cow disease. Prions have an affinity for the brain. They are involved in the creation of spongiform encephalopathy. After 2 weeks of clinical trials, knockout mice, those mice bred to have human-like reactions, had a 95% die-off rate. Macaque monkeys, under study, were found to have Lewy bodies, proteins akin to those found in human Alzheimer's patients' brains. Before these reports emerged of the soon-to-be imminent horror booster shot, the news about the effects of the present COVID mRNA shots was bad enough. Dr. Ruby, in another interview, showed UK doctor Wellborn's comparative red blood cell slides, healthy, round red blood cells from an unvaccinated person, and by way of contrast, those from a vaxxed person, clumped, misshapen cells in a ghastly gray sea. And I must interrupt my essay to say that these important interviews were found at Brighteon.com. Lou, do you want to give any directions there? People should go to, what, naturalnews.com first?
Well, I think the easiest way to find those is simply to go to Brighteon.com.
Spell it.
B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N.
One word. One word.
Yes.
.com.
And then that, along with Mike Adams' regular site, Natural News, they both have excellent search engines. You'll see the little search symbol. And in the box, just write, well, for example, you can write Dr. Judy Mikovits.
And that's capital M-I-K-O-V-I-T-S.
That's right. And
Dr. Jane Ruby.
Yes.
R-U-B-Y.
And also Stu. Now, let's see. He spells it
capital S-T-E-W.
Yeah,
Peters.
Peters. He has excellent interviews. So any one of those three, you can do a search, and it will save you some time because it takes Mike has an awful lot of good videos there. You might want to just browse them, but it would be faster to do a search if you have a particular topic in mind.
And back to my essay, quote, "You are indeed," as General and former President Dwight D. Eisenhower told Republicans at the Bedford Springs Hotel, Bedford, Pennsylvania, in 1962, "fighting for your very lives. You don't know it yet, but when the time comes, you'll be up to it." I always like to give this twice, this quote from Ike, because he knew how bad things were with the military-industrial complex, but he could never have envisioned fully about the medical police state that we are now in. He said, "You are indeed fighting for your very lives. You don't know it yet, but when the time comes, you'll be up to it." Will we be up to it? We ordinary citizens must stand up and not accept the growing tyranny, including vaccine passports, forced inoculations, and planned takedown of America. We must stand up when our congressmen are sold-out cowards. We must stand up when some of the leading pastors in America have committed the abomination of advising their flock to get aborted fetal cell line-derived vaccines. Some have even desecrated God's house by giving COVID injections inside the church, as in Kanawha County, West Virginia, at Charlestown Bible Center Church on June 4th. That may have been Charleston Bible Center Church, I believe, on June 4th. Time Magazine, July 5th, July 12th, 2021. Real people, real American Christians, must now separate from these ravening wolves. As Dr. Judy Mikovits says, founder Thomas Jefferson's motto should become our teacher our guide in the perilous days ahead. Quote, for here we will speak the truth and not tolerate errors so long as reason is left free. Mikovits is a Christian and has suffered false imprisonment in her lifetime. Persecution of American Christians who always complacently thought they were immune is no doubt waiting a little farther down the road. Vaccine passports, forced inoculations for workers to keep their jobs, palm scanning payment coming to Whole Foods grocery chain. These are indicators, signs of the times, finally codifying into the mark of the beast. Your choice now, whether to separate from the abominations to God, will determine where you spend eternity.
And we have an update to Elizabeth's words about vaccines in God's house. This was Wednesday, July 28th, from a Maryland newspaper. COVID-19 vaccination clinic coming to Hurlock Church. Dorchester County Health Department, DCHD, and Full Gospel Church of God are partnering to hold a free COVID vaccination clinic and revival on Friday, July 30th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. The event will be held in Hurlock. The Moderna vaccine will be distributed free of charge to individuals ages 18 and older. Pre-registration is available, but walk-ins will be accepted. Quote, our greatest defense now is the vaccine, says the bishop of that church. We are welcoming all to Full Gospel Church to have fun with music and refreshments while defeating COVID-19. State and local health officials have sought to partner with churches in rural areas. And we have...
I have to interject.
Yes, go right ahead.
As we talked, you thought this was probably in the poorer African-American neighborhood. And again, my late father would have just detested this. We take advantage of the helpless, the weak. We heard something horrific yesterday, too, on Mike Adams's situation report. I don't recall whether she was a nurse, I think perhaps, but there was a woman who, after the COVID inoculation, has now lost both of her arms and her legs. Now, can we imagine this? Do you recall whether that was a nurse?
I don't recall for sure.
But imagine this. If we don't speak out about these horrors, we're worthless. And, you know, that little church, they're thinking that, yes, revival, fun, games, and inoculation. It isn't revival that the leading pastors of America, like Gordon Robertson's son, is the son of Pat Robertson. So he esteemed the vaccines. Albert Mohler, the head of the Southern Baptist Seminary, he extolled getting the vaccines. Of course, the Pope has been pushing it very, very, very much that, you know, all Christians need to be looking out for their brothers. If we have time, we'll get to the latest writings, the powerful writings of Archbishop Carlo Vigano, whose beautiful Christian spirit and courage, I think, are like Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Nazi times. So we'll move right on, but we urge all of you to pray for the divided kingdom, for our provision and our protection. We urge you to pray for these other wonderful people like Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Jane Ruby. And Lou, let's move on.
Well, we have more information substantiating the United Kingdom doctors, Dr. Wellborn's red blood cell slide findings. Medical bombshell. Blood doctor releases findings showing Moderna's mRNA COVID vaccines change red blood cells from round to tubular, causing them to stick together. This was Tuesday, July 27th, written by S.D. Wells for Natural News. And the subheadline says, why are thousands and thousands of COVID-vaccinated people complaining of relentless lethargy, dizziness, and clouded thinking? Myocarditis is the condition of an inflamed heart that's being overworked for various reasons. One main reason for myocarditis, strokes, and heart attacks is clogged blood vessels, including arteries, veins, and capillaries, each of which plays specific roles in the process of circulating oxygen and nutrients. Even some of the healthiest people on planet Earth, our military members, are suffering myocarditis after COVID vaccination, and this is proven by science in clinical trials. Under a regular microscope, the examination of blood samples, a blood smear, from a specific doctor's patients who received the Moderna jabs reveal blood cells that are destroyed, mutated tubule-looking, and clumping together, or aggregated. These patients and their doctor want to know exactly what is being pushed into their bloodstream and what is now circulating throughout the body. The misinformation is coming from Pfizer and Moderna about mRNA and its true function. That's where all the misinformation stems from, not alternative news, as MSM would have everyone believe. These pictures, and if you go to the website, again, this was from Natural News, look for the article entitled Medical Bombshell, dated Tuesday, July 27th. And you can see in color these things I'm about to describe. These pictures of blood smears from COVID-vaccinated patients appear as though the patient has been suffering from Guillain-Barré syndrome or multiple sclerosis. But they haven't been. How are the vaccines causing this effect? The Moderna mRNA COVID vaccine mutates the shape and stickiness of the red blood cells, causing them to clot. The first diagram below shows healthy blood cells and then post-COVID vaccination. And I should comment that the ones on the left look healthy. They look like, sort of like a little circle, almost a donut shape, but without a hole. Just a kind
I told
of
you
indentation.
They look a little like your favorite. Remedy.
Oh, yes. They look like a Rolaids or Tom's, which I occasionally have to use. Mm-hmm. Now, on the right-hand side, however, it shows a picture of those that resulted, those red blood cells that resulted from having the Moderna mRNA vaccine. In this case, they look a little bit like spring sea creatures. They also look like they have spikes coming out of them, which I suppose is appropriate, seeing as the person was injected with a spike protein. And just reading from the description here, the first diagram shows the healthy red blood cells, and then to its right, it shows the post-COVID vaccination that have gotten mutated with deformed red blood cells, spike proteins, and the stickiness factor causing deadly blockages. It's like a 100-car pileup of wrecks in the highways and roadways where your blood travels. And then there are two lower pictures, the one on the left showing a slide of the red blood cells and all clumped together like a clump of Cheerios glued together. Certainly not healthy looking.
So the one on the very left, they were not clumped like that. They were rounded nicely, weren't they?
They were. That first picture showed them healthy, showed spaces in between, looked like they could float around easily. Nothing was restricting them. But now you have this big mass, as it says, more or less glued together.
And we can picture that going into a blood clot.
That's right. And the final illustration shows normal hemoglobin on the left. It's shaped sort of like a kidney bean. And then on the right, the distorted ones, like a flattened mushroom cap, which much more easily block the arteries and veins and capillaries.
And you
that
see,
matter.
God's creation is being changed. It's being distorted. And the moral evil of the aborted fetal cell line coming into our bodies, it cannot be a blessing. It has to be a curse. God may still show mercy. We pray very hard for several of our very close family members who got the vaccine. We pray that God will mercifully, miraculously keep them safe. But we hear about that nurse in Baltimore, that people are coming in months later sick. So there's no time restriction on when these things can blow up. Go ahead, Lou.
The COVID vaccines are not vaccines at all. They are gene-manipulating toxic injections that clog human blood. Coincidentally, a viral infection is the most common cause of myocarditis. So COVID is the perfect cover for vaccines causing inflamed hearts and blood clots. During a viral infection, your body produces cells to fight the virus. But after an mRNA vaccine, your cells produce sticky proteins and prions that cause roadblocks in your blood vessels. And your blood clogs even more around these obstructions. The problem is compounded and quickly becomes deadly. Some victims of COVID vaccination are suffering from a cerebral vein thrombosis or deep vein thrombosis. These are deadly blood clots in or near the brain. Other vaccination victims are suffering from pulmonary embolisms right after getting the COVID jabs. These are happening due to abnormal coagulation where the entire blood coagulation system has been hijacked and functions out of control thanks to mRNA, quote-unquote, technology. Internal organs are also taking on damage from the vaccines. If these vaccine-induced clots become dislodged from where they form, they can move to an organ or an artery that's too narrow for it, blocking blood flow and resulting in pulmonary embolism, like what's happening in these vaccine victims' lungs, stomach, and brain. And I think they might have had some pitches to go with those. And now, we have something else here. Australians marching for freedom from lockdowns. But here in the U.S., the New York Times calls freedom an anti-government slogan. This is from Natural News by their editors, Friday, July 23rd. A New York Times article about the protests in Cuba starts, shouting freedom and other anti-government slogans, hundreds of Cubans took to the streets and cities around the country on Sunday to protest food and medicine shortages in a remarkable eruption of discontent not seen in nearly 30 years. The New York Times headline says Cubans are protesting misery in a country that limits dissent. But about 30 paragraphs into the story, the New York Times finally admits that what Cubans are truly protesting, a brutal communist dictatorship. The extra repressive COVID lockdowns, causing further economic hardship, are just the straw that broke the camel's back. Meanwhile, the Associated Press reported that, quote, as Cubans took to the streets to protest the country's worst economic crisis in decades, authorities blocked social media sites. It's a tried and true method of stifling dissent.
And we'll interject that someone from WWCR told us that when the internet was taken away, a lot of Cubans were able to hear people in southern Florida by radio. So you see, there is a value to radio. And Lou, let's get to the freedom cries in Australia.
Yes. This was from the Gateway Pundit. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Masses of Australians march against COVID lockdowns. July 24th, 2021. Australians have had enough. Thousands of Australians marched through Australia's two biggest cities in opposition to the COVID lockdowns on Saturday. Channel News Asia reported, thousands marched through Australia's two biggest cities in anti-lockdown protests on Sunday, July 24th, sparking violent clashes with police in Sydney. Dozens of protesters were arrested after an unauthorized march flouted public health orders in Sydney, while several confrontations with police broke out during the hours-long rally. Officers were pelted with pot plants and bottles of water as opponents of Sydney's month-long stay-at-home order took to the streets in numbers. Thousands also crowded several streets in Melbourne after gathering outside the state parliament in the early afternoon. Australia recently tightened lockdown measures and extended the stay-home orders beyond July 30th. CNBC reported, Australia's New South Wales state on Friday reported its biggest daily rise in new COVID-19 cases this year, prompting state officials to tighten lockdown measures in Sydney in what they called a, quote, national emergency, unquote. State Premier Gladys Berejiklian also flagged the likelihood that stay-home orders for the country's biggest city would be extended beyond the current end date of July 30th. Now.
And I think, do you have anything more there from Australia?
No, that's everything for that one.
Okay. Tyranny does breed valor, we see, too. So this is more news about an individual from Australia. And this was at Natural News by Arsenio Toledo, July 23rd. Australian man escapes forced quarantine in hotel using rope made from bedsheets. A man in Australia escaped mandatory Wuhan coronavirus quarantine by scaling down a fourth-floor window using a rope made of bedsheets that were tied together. The incident occurred in the early morning hours of Tuesday, July 20th, in the city of Perth, the capital and largest city of the state of Western Australia. The man in question is Travis J. Miles, 39, a resident of the northeastern state of Queensland. Miles arrived in Perth on an interstate flight from Brisbane, the capital and largest city of Queensland, on Monday. He applied to be permitted to enter the state under Western Australia's extreme border entry rules. According to these lockdown regulations, Queensland is considered a medium-risk state. This means only people with essential professions or with, quote, compassionate reasons to travel to the state can enter. And related, here it says, Australia announces beginning of new world order as harsh COVID lockdowns imposed. These rules are supposedly in place to prevent the virus from entering the state from elsewhere in the country. Miles's application was denied. He was ordered to leave the state within 48 hours. He was taken to a hotel in the inner city neighborhood of Rivervale for temporary quarantine ahead of a scheduled flight back to Brisbane. But according to the Western Australia Police Force, Miles attempted to escape before his flight. At about 12:45 a.m. on Tuesday, quote, he climbed out a window of the fourth floor room using a rope made of bed sheets and fled the area, said the WAPF, and that would be the Western Australia Police Force, in a post on the force's social media account. The police added that Miles used at least six bed sheets in his escape. Miles was able to evade authorities for over 8 hours. He was found by WAPF officers at 8:55 a.m. in the northern neighborhood of Mount Lawley. He was subsequently arrested and charged under state emergency laws with failure to comply with a direction and providing false or misleading information. He appeared before a judge in the Perth Magistrates Court virtually on Tuesday afternoon, several hours after his arrest. He did not apply for bail. He was remanded in custody until early August, when his 14-day forced quarantine period ends. After this period, he will appear in court in person. Authorities tested him for COVID-19. The test came back negative. According to Western Australia's lockdown rules, it has a hard border with the Australian states of Victoria, Queensland, and New South Wales. Limited travel is permitted from South Australia and the Australian Capital Territory. Free travel is allowed from Tasmania and the Northern Territory. Western Australia also has a free travel agreement with New Zealand.
Woman escaped forced quarantine in Western Australia to eat out and go shopping. Miles' situation, while peculiar, is not unique. At least one other person has been recorded attempting to escape forced quarantine in Western Australia. On Wednesday, just one day after Miles attempted to escape and was then arrested, the WAPF charged an American woman with multiple quarantine breaches. The woman, Sonia Anglin, 23, arrived in Perth from the city of Cairns in northern Queensland on July 26th. Unlike Miles, Anglin was permitted to enter Western Australia, but she had to undergo 14 days of forced quarantine at a hotel. WAPF alleged Anglin was not in her room when officers went to check in on her several times on the week of her arrest. The police claimed she broke quarantine to dine and shop in Perth's Central Business District. Said the police in a statement on Wednesday, she had visited a licensed cafe and gone shopping within the Perth CBD. The police earlier accused Anglin of going to a nightclub, but they later retracted that accusation. Police further came, police further reported that Anglin's behavior came despite clear orders from officers to quarantine for 14 days in a hotel the very day she touched down at Perth Airport. The WAPF tested her for COVID-19 upon her arrest. It came back negative.
Just like the other case.
That's right. She was charged with 5 counts of failure to comply with a direction. She faced the Perth Magistrates Court later on Wednesday, where she attempted to apply for bail, but was rejected. Anglin was then remanded in custody and is due to appear in court again July 30th. Learn more about the state of repressive lockdowns in Australia and other parts of the world by reading the latest articles at pandemic.news.
And Lou, we see that our time, as always, is very precious and it is passing. We are going to get more fully into this fight for freedom in the UK. And I think, what's the title of your next article right there?
Next one was Pingdemic Insanity. UK government commits national commits nation to starvation suicide by commanding food sector workers to self-quarantine. Supply chain at risk.
Yes, I think then I have an article about the panic hoarding. Why don't we get into your article?
All right. And this was by Mike Adams, Friday, July 23rd, from Natural News. After centuries of global rule, the United Kingdom is committing a societal suicide by ordering millions of its workers across food, retail, and medicine sectors to self-quarantine in their homes. Grocery store shelves are going bare across the nation, and industry leaders warn that the food supply chain is, quote, at risk of collapse, unquote. How did this happen? The UK government requires every individual to carry a mobile phone installed with NHS, and that's the British...
National Health Service.
That's right, yes.
The socialist medicine.
Yeah, that's right. So to carry the phone installed with COVID-19 software that tracks and records their movements and locations in real time. When a person is found to be COVID positive via a fraudulent PCR test that grossly amplifies false positives, the entire history of that person's movements is analyzed to determine what other people may have been near that person at any time. All those who ever came close to that positive person are then pinged on their phone app and ordered to self-quarantine, removing them from the labor pool. In the last week alone, more than 500,000 Britons were pinged and ordered to stay home. At this rate, within a few more weeks, there'll be very few people left to run much of anything. This phenomenon is being called a pingdemic. The result is an accelerating collapse of the food sector, as there are no longer enough workers to staff grocery stores, food production plants, or to drive transportation trucks, that is, lorries.
And then, is that it, Lou?
There's a little more on the next page. Let me see what Mike comments on. He just goes on to say, supermarket supply chains are starting to fail because the pingdemic is sending thousands of workers into self-isolation.
Yes, and we'll pick up this story next week. And I think perhaps the government backed down a little bit and let some workers go back. But we'll pick it up. It's so important that, as we've talked to you before, listeners, that you begin putting together an emergency supply food network for yourself, your family, and some friends. Lou and I bought a lot of little cans of chicken from a company called Shelton. Isn't that it, Lou?
Yes, that's right.
I think. We got some larger cans of meats from Lehman's, LEHMAN', an Amish company in Ohio. We have no connection with either of those. And you can go to your grocery store. You can find even cans of Spam, cans of meat, cans of vegetables. But you do not want to hoard a lot of fruits because the cans will blow up. They don't last too long. But we know that it's important that you prepare. And please get your spiritual life in order with our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your help. Good night.